Start of interview with W.D. Gunaratne on the 28th of June 1967. The first part of this interview is missing, about half an hour, due to it being unrecorded.
No, I was wondering whether this didn't present problems in the sense that it accentuated the gap between you and the villager.
It did at the early stages.
Were you able to cross it? That's the main point, really.
We always, I think I'm speaking for the others too, other Silanis, we always like to cross it. And it was greatly
a bit there. You said you liked to cross it, and it was greatly facilitated by the
Dynamo Constitution. Not because of any merit in the Constitution itself, but the fact that a larger greater degree of self-government, and a certain degree of self-government, was given to the people.
Don't you think that with the passage of time to the 40s and 50s, there has been a closer identification with the people?
Oh, definitely, yes.
But has it at the same time resulted in other shortcomings or other evils?
Not the mere fact of the officials identifying themselves more with the people, that didn't bring about any other repercussions or evils.
No, I was wondering whether, for instance, the fact that the civil service has been broadened and you get a greater number now, and also that they're coming from all kinds of strata, and the traditions are, whether the traditions of honesty and impartiality in particular have been reduced.
It is generally said that it has been reduced. Personally, I am not aware of it, but the general belief is that it has been reduced.
And I was wondering how, for instance, political interests, political partiality, political pressure influence the existing structure.
If we're talking about the standard of integrity, if that has got reduced, it is not due to the broadening of the base of the civil service, but due to political reasons. Political pressure.
Mm-hmm. What about the mere fact of administrative pressure? Government is doing so much more these days. Don't you think that the load on the administrative service as a whole is much greater?
Much greater, definitely. Much greater.
What sort of influence did it have on the service, say, in your time, say, in 55, 54, that period?
To the extent that we were unable to do any job of work thoroughly because of the large volume of work we got through.
And did you feel that at various levels the coordination was bad? The ministry policy was not coordinated, the compartmentalization was...
Yes, coordination was very poor.
At what levels?
Coordination between the various branches of the government, coordination between one minister and the various departments under him.
What caused this?
Volume of work.
What about things like bad distribution of ministries, you know, the allocation of departments to ministries? Couldn't it have been done in a more systematic manner without changes by each government, for instance?
Well, on that, definitely, I think it could have been. And also I must say that in anything that has been organized by anybody, it is always possible to say that it could have been done better.
Mm.
So here also it is the same. I suppose even if it had been done better in the way we were thinking of, say some of our officials, if it had been organized that way, there would still have been room for some people to say that it should have been organized in a different way.
No, I was wondering whether our leading politicians didn't appreciate the importance of the administrative machinery.
Yes, I think that is correct. They did not appreciate the importance. I'm not so sure that it could be put that way. I think they didn't appreciate the importance of the administrative machinery. But I don't think they realized the problems and the difficulties which the administrators had to face in carrying out certain things.
With regard to coordination, for instance, the way in which people are recruited seems to be inconsistent. Each department has its own personnel policy, recruiting peons, clerks. Each have a different salary scale.
Of course, you are talking of what is happening today at the moment?
No, before. In particular, before the unified system.
Before the administrative service came?
Yes.
Yes, there was plenty of room for improvement in the method of recruitment.
And, for instance, did you feel that the service was overstaffed, especially at the lower levels?
No, I did not feel that at that time. Not so sure that it is so even now.
Question of bureaucratic forms, was there too much red tape?
No, I wouldn't say that. I would say that in a general way, I wouldn't say there has been too much of red tape. But I think in certain departments there may have been. Talking about this method of recruitment, I do not know, of course, what you had in mind. I'm not quite clear. But I am reminded of one thing which I always felt as a big mistake, that is recruitment of minor employees, that is especially this question of transfer of minor employees from their areas, from the areas where they live. Sometimes because of various considerations they are transferred the other end of the island. I think that was a big mistake, but that caused a lot of trouble. I am talking of minor employees. Would you like to have a little beer?
Oh, I would prefer a soft drink, thank you.
Are you sure?
Yes.
You won't have a little beer?
I'm not a beer drinker, thank you.
Oh, I see. Yes, I was always against his method of recruitment of minor employees. I always thought that some scheme should be evolved whereby minor employees, to begin with, I do not know whether it fits in with your particular point.
It is related.
Yeah.
I see what you are getting at.
Yeah.
My question was, let's say, the irrigation department, the land development department. Each department formulated its own scheme of employment, different salaries. Sometimes the way they advertised for posts was rather vague, which enabled some nepotism at times.
Uh, Well, there was a kind of central agency to coordinate all that, the Public Service Commission. Mm-hmm. They could have coordinated, and also the Treasury, all the conditions of employment, salary schemes, requirements for candidates, the conditions they had to comply with, were all laid down centrally by the Treasury and the Public Services Commission, so that there shouldn't have been large differences there.
But your point about transfers was interesting. What about the question of too many transfers of staff officers too, before they had got used to a...
Yes, that also I think was wrong. There are reasons why staff officers should not remain in any particular department too long. But at the same time, to transfer him within a few months or within even a year or two and give him entirely new duties is not in the best interest of the administration.
Did you find that happening in your case too?
Yes, it has happened once or twice.
What about political staffing and political transfers? Was that coming in?
After the new constitution came in, during the Donamo constitution time also it was there to some extent, but much more so after the Shrewsbury constitution came in.
But wasn't the Public Service Commission meant to prevent this sort of thing?
I think it was meant to do for that purpose. I think that was the intention when the Public Service Commission was created, but it never worked in that way.
In other words, the Prime Minister and others could influence the Public Service Commission?
Yes, I think so. Frankly, I think so. Even if they did not influence, I think the Public Service Commissioners themselves would like to, barring a few, would like to fall in line with what the ministers wanted.
With regard to recruitment to the civil service itself, it has been said that too many of the recruits are arts people.
Recently, is it?
No, even of the 30s and 40s, and even with regard to the Britishers, far too arts-oriented.
I have never heard that said, but it may be, I don't know. But I do not think that was due to, that was deliberately done.
No, but you see, the point that flows from this criticism is that the fact that they are artsmen would influence their performance, which I'm not quite certain of, does it?
I'm sorry, could you please...
The fact that a civil servant or the majority of the service are arts people is said to influence their attitude, and therefore...
Influence whose attitude?
The civil servant's attitude.
After they get in?
After they get in. The background is arts, therefore they are not susceptible to, are not keen on certain aspects of development and so forth.
Well, that is because they are arts people. Not because there are more arts people in the service, but because they are themselves arts people and they have a certain view. There are more arts people getting into the service.
Yes.
And that as a result of there being more arts people, the fact that there are more arts people influences the attitude of the arts officials.
No.
Fact that they are arts people
may
have a certain influence, may have a certain influence on the administration. Yes. That they are asking. your cycling.
But I'm still a bit doubtful of this. I don't think that an arts man is necessarily weak when it comes to certain semi-technical subjects.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think so myself. I think even they are primarily administrators, and on technical questions they have to take the advice of the technical experts. So I do not think the fact that arts people are not technical affects the administration adversely.
Yes, of course there is this argument about the about the value of having a specialist over a generalist, say in the post of a permanent secretary, in dealing with some with several technical departments.
Yes.
Or even say a director of agriculture.
Yes.
Isn't it better to have an agriculturist rather than a civil servant?
I wouldn't think so. I think if the medical department is purely doing the administration, I think a non-technical man could do the job quite satisfactorily. Provided he does not clash with the technical expert, he must accept the technical side, he must accept their advice on the technical side. But purely administrative work usually be done by non-technical, no?
By non-technical.
Yes.
Now I was wondering whether in your, as far as your impressions went, you felt that many of your compatriots were people from classics and history and so forth, and therefore didn't have the outlook on certain questions which people with science background might have brought in.
No, I did not find that feeling at all. On the contrary, if I may mention this point, is my own personal opinion, I think the take for instance a mathematics graduate, I personally think an arts graduate is much more, will in the long run be more satisfactory than a mathematics man in an administrative service. Because a mathematics man generally tends to be, in general, you would have read less. We would have double integers and various mathematical things, which are not of much use in these administrative matters.
Mm-hmm.
Except, of course, the mental training that is necessary.
What about promotions in the service?
Yes.
I believe in principle they are supposed to have been on merit,
yes.
But wasn't it really largely on seniority?
Very largely on seniority in the past. In the past, it was largely on seniority.
Efficiency bars, were they of any value?
Yes. Those who are definitely unsuitable to get ruled out. I'm talking about the past.
Mm-hmm. Past include, does that include the 1950s?
I think in the 1950s the question of promotions did not work on merit very much.
Disciplinary procedures, what did you think of the procedures as a whole?
They were quite satisfactory, except that they were long drawn out. The punishment should be quicker. Whatever disciplinary action has to be taken, everyone will admit, should be taken promptly and not delayed.
But there's a dilemma here, no? A question of trying to be fair
Yes.
And at the same time to be quick and decisive.
I think both could be done more speedily if the organization is set up better.
In what way could it happen?
I think it has to be enlarged. The Public Service Commission and procedure is too, I mean, not enough staff to handle that.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering whether the fact that it was long drawn out meant that superior officers were reluctant to institute proceedings.
That also was there. There are so many factors. That also was there. But at the same time, I know personally, because I have appeared before the Public Service Commission in various inquiries, the thing gets postponed over a small point, and then it's sent back again to the department to verify it. And it takes a long time to get it back. Things like that, delay suffer.
I was wondering whether there has been a fair element of weakness in a way in which indiscipline and other misdemeanors have been dealt with. That people are reluctant to punish.
Yes, I think very much more now than say in the pre-Dharma days. Pre-Dharma days there was no great reluctance for even a civilian officer to take drastic action against subordinates. Under the Dharma constitution, gradually there was a reluctance growing. And now I think after the Goldberg constitution came, they are very, very slow to take action against it. It's not so much because of the constitution, but the reaction, the union actions and so on that are taken over.
Also social...
hunger strikes and whatnot.
Social pressure and even perhaps a feeling among Sirenese, what will happen to his family? Such considerations?
Yes. I'm sorry. What will happen to the family of the
man
who
is punished?
Man who is being punished. Yes, that also does have a certain amount of influence over influence on the minds of the superiors. And not that there wasn't that consideration even pre-Dharma days. But if it's a very serious offense, there was no hesitation. Really, very reluctantly, it has to be done. But now, if it is being done or not done, it is not because of those, not so much because of that consideration, but because of the repercussions it will have on the officer himself. Not the superior officer.
That is to say,
yeah.
He might be transferred.
He might be in some other way dealt with. He might fall into fall out of grace.
How did the switchover work out to Sinhalese and Subhash?
It was just being introduced when I was when I was leaving the service. So we never wrote much in Sinhalese at all at that time.
No.
Although we were theoretically expected to.
When did you leave?
I left in 57.
So 56 to 57.
Yeah.
I was wondering whether you felt that they were trying to do this in too much of a hurry.
Yes, oh yes, definitely. In too much of a hurry.
And were the orders vague and indefinite? The terms and the...
No, I don't think they were vague and indefinite. I think their orders were there, but they were being ignored. Because they were so impractical.
Was there a general demoralization of the service after 56?
Yes, I think so. I think so.
Why?
Because of the interference. interference by ministers and parliamentarians.
Ministers and parliamentarians.
And I would say that demonetization was largely due, not that there was no interference before, there was, but this demonetization is due to the fact that discipline can't be maintained in the department. If you punish an officer, you have to very often withdraw and cancel your orders. And that naturally is not about this demonetization.
Yes, in fact, after 56, did you feel that at the lower levels,
yes, there
was a tendency to be insubordinate, indisciplined?
Yes, because there is a general tendency on the part of peons and the lower ranks and some clerical service people to adopt the attitude of apayandu. It is apayandu, not your government, it's our government.
Was there even a system, a suspicion that there was a kind of, there's some spying in the sense that peons might even make representations against you to the minister?
Yes, that was developing at the time when I was, about the time I was leaving. And I think now it is, I don't know personally, but from what I have heard, I think what I can infer, I think that is developing quite a lot now.
Jumping to the question of salary scales, it is noticeable that there's a vast gap between the salaries paid to the top layer and to those at the lower levels.
Mm-hmm.
How do you explain this, and don't you think it affected the nature of, affected the work of the civil service? The administrative service and the whole.
Difference in gap between the salaries of administrative servants.
The civil servants had a certain level of salary.
It's all administrative now.
Yes.
Yes.
And the peons and the clerks in particular.
Yes.
Had much less.
Yes.
I mean, there's a very wide gap between the salary.
Yes.
A gap which is much wider than in most Western countries.
It's not so. I didn't know that it was much wider here than most Western countries. Is that so?
Yes, no, yes. That's definite. But I was wondering whether it led to frustration at the middle and lower levels.
There has always been a complaint that that these lower rank people are not getting enough salaries. And that is true.
What about the question of trade unions? I presume they were growing more powerful in your time. Do you think trade unionism in the public sector is a good thing?
I haven't sort of studied it very critically, but my own feeling is that I don't think it is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. But isn't it necessary sometimes to protect the interests of the interest being even such things as the wage structure of the public servants concerned?
I do not know whether a trade union is necessary really for that. We have not a democratic form of government. Grievances can be aired out in Parliament. The ministers are responsible men. I think any glaring defects can be always put right by these processes without having a trade union.
I'd like to sort of leave that sphere and
ask
a few final questions on the earlier period, British, before 48, for instance.
Yes. Before you leave that, may I say this thing, that I think a trade union is justifiable in the private sector because they are private bodies and government cannot control the activities of these of the buses in the private sector. And therefore trade union activity is very necessary there. But I do not think it is necessary in the public sector.
Mm-hmm. How fair were the British civil servants when it came to judging decisions between a Ceylonese and a European? Administratively or judicially?
Judicially they were of course very, very fair.
Mm-hmm.
You mean holding judicial posts?
Yes.
Holding judicial posts they were very, very fair. In the administration,